September 4th, 2012. I'll come to order. Please turn off or silence electronic devices. Mr. Andre, I'd like for you to listen to the pledge. Before we do, I'd like to offer a moment of silence. For those of you not aware, we lost our auditor to a surprise heart attack, and Don DeVille was our auditor, and he's been the auditor since I've been mayor, and a lot of us have been around. And when people pass away, you always say, oh, he was a good guy, he was a good guy. And really, it's because they passed away. But this guy was really a good guy. He not only did our audits for us, which is somewhat adversarial, but he would give us advice. If we had any doubt about anything, we could call him. He was always friendly. I never saw him upset or raise his voice or anything like that. He was just a class individual. And it's not only a loss for his family and everybody else, but it's a loss for the town of Brule, because we had a real professional who was a real conscientious person and was a real good person. So with that, let's all have a moment of silence.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Olin.
Here.
Councilmember Boothby.
Here.
Councilmember Abear.
Here.
Councilmember Andre.
Here.
Councilmember Leesler.
Here.
Attorney Acosta.
Here.
Mayor Norman.
Here. First thing on the agenda is minutes of the regular meeting. There's a copy in the package. If there's any comments or corrections, either hear them now or at some future time. Committee reports. Item number one is item A is Public Works. Item number one is a resolution to apply for the LGAP grant. It's a grant we apply for every year with the state. And this year we're going to apply for a hydro sewer jetter, which is really that big old thing you see it roll around with a bunch of hose on it. It's a very, very high pressure hose. Ours is, I want to say, 30 years old or something, and it's seen better days. It still works, but it's still seen better days. So the grant requires a resolution from the council, and I'm going to ask such at the next meeting. So any comments or questions? It will not pay for the entire jetter, but we'll put up the difference. I'll get you the numbers next week, but that's the best use of money as far as we can tell. For comments or questions? For those of you who don't come to every meeting, at the committee meetings, we have what's called an open agenda. We discuss things from the audience, so if you have any comments, just speak up. Next item is to discuss two police station contracts. As part of the design process, our architect has to get other people to come in and do pieces of work. In this case, there's a company called Terracon. They're going to do the geotechnical part, which really the soil borings and those types of things, and Land Source, and they're going to do the surveying. Terracon is $6,000, Land Source is $3,980. So in as much as those are contracts, I will ask the council next week to authorize me signing the contracts. Tom has reviewed the contracts and they're pretty vanilla. So that's what we're going to ask for. It's all part of the design process. Any questions or comments? Okay. Audience West plan change number two. The engineers sent us a plan change 2-3 weeks ago. It's a very minor change. They're changing the slope of one of the drainage ditches, and it will carry the same or more capacity of water than it did before. They're making the slope just a tiny bit more steep. I don't see anything wrong with it, unless Roy knows something I don't know. I'm going to recommend plan change number two. What we started a few years ago was, when we have something in process, rather than wait till the end of the project and approve plan changes as a group, we do them as we go along so that you can see what they are. If anybody wants to look at a sketch of the ditch slopes and all this, pretty vanilla. I didn't even put one up there, but is a very minor change, so I'm going to recommend it. Any comments or questions? Item number four is Post Isaac. The town was extremely, very, if you look at the plot, we were very, very fortunate. We got wind, we had some trees that were down, not too many. We accumulated 4.5 inches of rain until after the storm passed, and then we got a couple of squalls came through. At the end of Live Oak where I live, we got 2 inches in an hour, so, you know, that was after the storm had passed. But all in all, except for leaves and branches everywhere and stuff like that, I thought we came out really well. The guys prepared for it really well, and we really, I don't, unless somebody knows something I don't know, I think we came out really good. Comments, questions? Now, I had this under announcement, let's talk about it right now. There's a lot of piles of branches and stuff on the side of the road, okay? The scheduled pickup for brush is next Monday, all right? We're not the only people that had this storm. So whoever they doing this week, whoever Allied is doing this week, I don't know who it is, maybe it's Erwinville, I don't know where it is. Whoever they doing this week, I'm sure they're going to be working their tail off all week to keep up. But when they get here Monday, they're not going to pick up everything on Monday. All right, it's not going to all get picked up on Monday. It won't get picked up on Tuesday. It's the entire week. If they have to go into the weekend, they might do that. So if you see a truck going down the road and they pick it up branches and throw them in the back of the truck, and then they leave and they don't come back, that's the way they do it. They pick the small stuff up first and they come with the grabber second. This applies all over the parish, not just in Brule. So please urge people, if they really have any questions, call me and I'll explain it to them. But not everything's going to get picked up like a normal brush week, because it's just more of it, okay? So let's please try to spread the word on that, okay? Anybody else have any comments or questions or discussion about Isaac and Post Isaac? Nothing? Oh, that's good. I'm good with that. All right. Planning and zoning, meeting minutes of August 22nd. There's a variance request from Philip D. Roberts on Venzu, 670 Venzu. And we have a sketch of it. This is where his house is now, okay? He's enclosing his carport right here. And he's turning this into a three sides open carport. Well, actually, yeah, three sides will be open carport, okay? Because our ordinance says that you can have no combustible material within 10 feet, the roof that he's putting on there is the same kind of roof he's gonna have on his regular house. So that stuff is combustible. The distance from the new edge of his carport, it's gonna be all open and metal. The distance from the edge to Bob Benoit's house, what, 20? How far? 20-something feet?
20.
Yeah, it's 20-something feet. So he's asking for a variance for a side setback instead of 10 feet to 3.5 feet. Bob's driveway is right here. There's not a structure there. The Planning Commission recommended approval unanimously. I don't see a problem with it. If Bob don't see a problem with it, then we should be good. He has no objection to it. So. That's the variance that is being requested. Is there any comments or discussion? Is Philip here? He's not here. He's not here. Okay, he didn't come. All right. Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. He'll be on the agenda for next time. In addition, we had a ordinance of blank of 2012 rezoning from R1 single family residential to B1 transition. The address is 395 Highway 1 North, Brule, for Richard Haban. Let's see if I can find that over here. Skip over a lot of stuff. After all questions were asked and answered, Chairman Stelly closed the public hearing and submitted to Commission for consideration. A motion to recommend the rezoning to the Town Council was made by Commissioner Lemoyne, seconded by Commissioner Sonnier. A roll call vote was held with the following results. Yeas, Lemoyne, Cairo, Sonnier, nays, Stelly, Perkins, Purnell, absent Travassos. So it was a 3-3 vote. Was sent to the council without a recommendation. So the council, you now have it without a recommendation. Called both parties and recommended that they come to the meeting to speak to you, since some of the council members were at the meeting and some were not at the meeting. So this is not an official public hearing, but it is certainly an opportunity to speak. Now, having been to the planning commission meeting, and since I'm a new iPhone owner, the iPhone on here has something called a timer. And what the timer does is you can set it to whatever you want, and I'm setting it to 5 minutes. We have on that wall, they have a 5-minute limit per person to talk. So whoever wants to talk is going to be limited to a total of 5 minutes, all right? Not 5 minutes. So, and I would ask, since this is an important discussion, that the people who wish to speak for this item tonight only would come to the podium. So with that, if anyone would like to speak?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor.
Surprise, surprise.
Cleveland Slangwell, Pot Engineer Surveyors, I'm here to represent Mr. Richard Abak. We're asking for transitional zoning. We're looking for, if you remember right, we came in front of y'all with this plot, and we had to have two variants. One of them was for the front footage, and the other one for the side setback. Now, if we are rezoned to transition, both of those variances go away, because we will have 60-foot of frontage. The minimum for transition is 50, and our side setback will actually be within the 5 feet limit of that. Also, too, we did happen to go back, and we actually, after the meeting, we looked at it on the old map in the rear, and that y'all have hanging on the wall, one of y'all first zoning maps, and this property was actually zoned commercial back in 1971. Seems that it got transferred back to residential sometimes between 87 and 2004, because there was a map amendment done both of those times, so I'm not sure which one. Mr. Don may be able to shed light on which one that was. We're looking to have a tenant heating and air in here. I think we meet all requirements, especially since now, you know, we rezone, we'll be able to actually have, do away with the variances on our plat. Just to let you know, minimum yards setback in front for 20 feet on a transition zone, 10 feet rear, 5 feet side, minimum lot size 6,000 square feet, which we were way over that with a 50-foot width. There are a lot, as Mr. Don pointed out to me, a lot of uses in this one, but if you look on the service-oriented businesses, it does list heating and air. At this time, we're just asking that we be allowed to rezone it to transition.
Okay. You only used up a minute and 50 seconds. That's pretty good.
I'm going to reserve that rest.
Who wants to be next? A minute, write down a minute and 50. Who's next? Who wants to be next? You can't reserve going last. I'm about to close it.
I'm glad we speak up.
I'm about to close it. If nobody steps up, I'm going to close it.
You don't need the clock on me.
Yeah.
I figured things are going to be the way they are, and the lines are made up. I'll give you a short version of it. My name is Richard Abair. I'm the owner of the commercial property located at 395 Highway 1 North. I purchased this property on April 9th, 2012 from Union Texas Products. At the time of the sale, I paid prorated commercial taxes on the building and the land. West Baton Rouge Parish Assessor's Office shows commercial taxes have been paid by all previous owners of this property dating back 70 years to 1942. The town of Brule also shows the collected commercial taxes on this commercial property from the previous owner, Union Texas, through the year 2005, which I believe is the last year that Brule had a tax roll. This 70-year-old commercial building has been a Brule landmark, and I doubt if anybody here, either on the council or in the audience, has ever driven by and said, oh look, that's a nice residential building. It is what it is, it always has been. It's a piece of commercial property. Mr. Tim LeBowen at the Planning and Zoning Committee stated it looked like there had been an oversight by the town of Brule, and the building should have been grandfathered in. When I first started this rezoning, I talked to various members of the planning and zoning and the town council members, and I was told that B1 transition would be a much better fit for the town of Brule. So So taking that consideration, I postponed seeking legal counsel to find out why the building wasn't grandfathered in. Mr. Buddy Powell is here tonight, and he'd like to put a service-oriented business on his property. He's here for the long term. He wants to sign, he has a sign, I brought it with me, a 10-year lease with an option to buy. And my lease has more regulations than town of Greeley have, as far as keeping things clean, neat, picked up, whatever. And also, this rezoning request is not going to make me a break. It's not one of those deals. If Mr. Powell doesn't get in a B1, I'm going to have my attorney seek a legal ruling to see why it's not grandfathered in. If I still can't get a zone commercial, I have no problem with that either. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I also have Reverend Jackson Plackman, who would have used this property as his zone, as R1, for his Baptist church. And he is also going to sign a long-term lease with an option to buy. If you look at the map, you'll see there's 5 landowners here today, and we're all in the same situation. We're all cut off, isolated, and separated from all other residential properties in that area by the Tonton Canal, Sinclair, Cane Fields, and LA1. There are 7 surrounding landowners that are in favor of this rezoning. There's only one against it. That's the very one that I outbid when I bought this property. And I feel like any and all of the Trish's concern about what I consider non-issues of this property will go away if I do have it grandfathered in, no matter what it says about not facing on public streets, wherever y'all have, getting grandfathered in, all that goes away. And that's probably my 3 minutes. I want to thank everybody for their time and consideration of this rezoning issue. And I'd be glad to answer any questions y'all have, anybody in the audience has, about anything y'all want to know about it. Thank you.
All right, you got a minute and 35 seconds left. Who would like, anybody else want to speak?
My name is Woody Trish. My wife and I are residents of the town of Broly, and our address is 449 Highway 1 North. The property that we own and live on is zoned residential. Our property abuts the subject property and is also used to access it. All surrounding properties are also zoned residential. For those of you who were not at the planning and zoning meeting, it is necessary for me to again review the items relative to zoning that affects this issue. I did not oppose the previous request for re-subdivision of this property, even though variances were required before the town would approve it, because rezoning was never mentioned. But now that this has come up, I oppose this request for rezoning in accordance with the town's planning and development regulations. I feel anyone who lived where I live in a strictly residential environment and in my position would feel the same way. If this property was rezoned, any business that falls into transition uses permitted could be put there now or in the future. A doctor's office, dentist's office, bank branch, etc. Once property is rezoned, the town cannot go back and say, we shouldn't have done that. I've attended town meetings for many years and know that requests for rezoning have been denied because the town had the foresight to see the problems that could be created either then or in the future. Chapter 19 clearly states that all decisions shall be made based on what is in the best interest of the town of Broly. The town of Broly is now and desires to remain a primarily residential community. Businesses are welcome, but only if they do not disrupt the residential environment. Section 19.21 says that spot zoning should be avoided. This would definitely be spot zoning. This property is a small area that would be carved out of a community that has always been and still is zoned strictly residential. All the property along the west side of LA1 from the northern town limits to West Main Street is zoned residential. Section 19.21 also says that commercial businesses' activities should have access to arterial and electric streets only. The property not fronting on, this property is not fronting on a public street. The only access from LA 1 to this property and the other three residential lots to the west of it via a 50-foot length private servitude of passage that is on our property and is part of our driveway and front yard. Several residential areas not fronting on a public street are located, for example, off Olane Street. This could set a precedent throughout the town if this property was rezoned. How could future requests be denied? Section 29.23 and 19.31 talk about a buffer zone, and it is defined as an area between two conflicting uses, and it shall be required between residential and commercial areas. It also says that a buffer zone shall be established when locating an incompatible use adjacent to a conforming use. I understand that a buffer zone could be created to the south of this property by the Tonton Canal and to the west of this property by a fence, except for the 25-foot width servitude on their properties that is their access. But because this property does not front on a public street and fronts on my side property line, the required buffer zone cannot be created between this property and our residential property because then there would be no way to access it. Section 19.31 titled B1 Transition states under uses permitted, uses shall be determined not detrimental to the neighborhood. Also, where commercial or bus residential, a 6-foot, 95% solid fence is required as screening from the building line to the rear property line. Again, because this property does not front on a public street.
30 seconds. Got 30 seconds.
Okay. Required also cannot be met property conducting business activities on residential property because then there would be no way to access it. Some other concerns, traffic and deliveries, workers, their vehicles, customers, large delivery vehicles, 18-wheelers. Would you want all of this non-residential traffic in your area? Garbage picked up? Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Woody. Anybody else?
I can finish up, man?
Yes, you can.
Thank you, sir.
How much time have you got left?
3 minutes and 10 seconds. So I just want to kind of go over a few things that Mr. Trish said. He keeps talking about commercial. We're not going for zoning commercial, we're going for a transition zone. And the only buffer required is a 6-foot, 95% solid fence as a screening between the buildings and the residential areas for the building line and the rear property line.
Didn't your client just say that he's going to court to prove that it's commercial?
Well, it was commercial. We want to go to B1. It's a transition right now. We want to go to a trend, we want to go to less zoning. If you want us to go to commercial.
No. Excuse me. You didn't listen to the question. It won't count against you when you tell. Didn't your client just say he's going to court to prove that it was commercial?
Just in the thing of the show that at least us going to transition, we were trying to compromise and go to a different type of zone and not go all the way for commercial.
So if he prevails in court, then it would be commercial?
We'd stay with the transition.
No. Then you'd have to rezone it to transition. It would be commercial if you go to court and win.
I mean, we're just asking for transition.
True or not true? I mean, my message.
That'd be a question for Mr. Acosta. I'm not an attorney.
I'm not a judge either.
And he ain't going to be a judge either. Trust me on that. Go ahead.
Also, too, he talks about residential. I mean, if you look at the map that exists right now on the website, you have a lot, he's talking about spot zoning, you have a lot of zoning. Look at the different colors right here, all of us against residential. You're a residential community. So to have anything in here, you're going to back up against residential. On West Main Street, you have B1 all along residential throughout there on this side. That's all I got to think.
Are you familiar with the case of Grady versus the town?
Yes, sir, very much, more than I want to know. Also, too, it's not spot zoning, by what I was saying, we're not looking for commercials. The access is the access, no matter what's back there. They all agreed on this access when they divided the property years ago. So it was the access then, it's the access now. It's going to be the access 100 years from now when I'm gone. And, you know, we have a lot of non-public streets around. And I think, like I said, the access is the access, that's all.
Anyone? Oh, I'm sorry.
Transition zone.
Still got a minute left. Well, give him a minute 15 because I was talking.
I'll let you go, man.
No, you can't carry it over to next week. All right, anybody else like to speak on this subject? Yes, sir. How much time has you got left?
I don't need 10 seconds. Mr. Trish made a comment about how y'all like to live in this neighborhood.
You can talk about zoning, okay?
I'm talking about in a residential and have this one piece of property.
Okay, all right.
Seven of the surrounding neighbors all are in favor of it. It's not that all of the neighborhood is opposed to, or the one person's opposed to.
Correct.
The surrounding neighborhood is in favor of it.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to speak on this subject, rezoning of the property? Okay, the way it works is this will be on the agenda. It is an ordinance. It's going to get a public hearing next week. It will be voted on next week. So we get to hear this one more time. I urge the parties involved, anybody interested, to come, because it's going to be a public hearing, and it will be voted on next time. So it'll be on the agenda, and we'll move forward, and we'll get through this, okay? All right. The next item is discuss revised preliminary plat Orleans West subdivision. All right. Skipping down to the end. After the discussion, Chairman Stelly closed the public hearing and referred the plat to the commission for consideration. A motion to recommend the revised plat favorably to the town council was made by Commissioner Purnell, seconded by Commissioner Payro. Roll call vote was had with the following results. Yeas, Payro, Stelly, Sonyat, Perkins, Purnell, Lemoine, Hayes, none, absent, Travassos. Prior to that, there was public comment. There was a public hearing. And I must say that one of the things that based on a comment that was made, one of the things that I requested from the engineer, Sean Heima, was a copy of their deed restrictions or building, whatever it's called, deed restrictions, I guess. And as late as today, I wrote him an email, and I've not yet received them. So that will be, to me, that's necessary before it can be voted on next week. So when we get them, we're going to distribute them to the council members. But having said that, is there anybody who would like to comment? Yes, sir.
How could the deed restrictions be? You'd have to look at that when you can't enforce anything on it.
Not
well,
sure.
How would that play a part in this?
Like, I don't even know where that is on here. I think it's got so much writing on it.
It's so long.
Where is it on here? Cheryl, do you remember where it is?
Low print. I can't read that. I can't even read the paper anymore.
Board of Governors. Well, it doesn't.
It's on here. It's one of these.
Let's put it this way.
Things on here.
This is my opinion. Okay, this is Joey's opinion.
Bottom left.
I don't care whether the town enforces it or not, but we owe it to the people who are interested in this. If they say it's on here, we want to see it.
Okay.
And if they want to delete it next week and then ask us to vote on it, that's fine. But I mean, that's their prerogative. But as far as I'm concerned, if you say that the streets are going to be made out of gold, then you make them out of gold. If you say you're going to have the deed restrictions, then you put them on here. I mean, that's my opinion. Bottom left, deed restrictions, no. All lots are subject to the declaration of covenants and restrictions. That's not a word I'm looking for. File with an adjunct here too, as an adjunct here to the town of Brule, West Baton Rouge does not enforce private deed and or subdivision restrictions. However, the approval of this plat does not release the owner and or contractor builder from complying with any such restrictions that may be attached to the property on this plat. I think this is what it says. What it says is the plat's approved with the expectation that anybody who wants to take this up civilly, you can use this as a promise made to the landowner.
Well,
but we're not going to enforce it.
You're saying that the restrictions are an adjunct to the preliminary plat, that it's, to the extent that it's not already public record, it's not already recorded in the conveyance records, then it's a fair question to ask to see.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, Because they reference it in the preliminary plat as an adjunct to it, so it's certainly fair to ask for it. If it wasn't in there, then, you know, you couldn't ask for it.
We're asking.
So they've opened the door.
Gotcha. All right, we're open for general comment. That was my comment, that it hadn't been provided yet. So any comments from the audience about the preliminary plat?
Out of curiosity, on the first filing, was that, I don't remember if that was in the preliminary plat, the deed.
I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you.
I really don't know.
It's in the preliminary plat, but it's in the plat that's on record. It does say in there that it has deeds and restrictions, and we have deeds and restrictions, and they were filed with the clerk of court and so forth.
Yeah, but I mean, what?
She's talking about the first Orleans West plat.
Yes.
Not your plat.
You're not talking about Orleans Quarters then?
No, I'm talking about Orleans Quarters.
Oh.
No, because I don't remember.
Then I sure don't know.
Because I don't remember if it was actually on there.
I couldn't tell you. All I know, this is what's in front of us. This is what we consider it. This is what was told that he should bring or provide. And that's all, you know, that's all we're interested in talking about right now. Anybody? Nobody? Scott? No?
I'm just listening.
Okay. You're not gonna get in trouble.
No,
Yes, ma'am, Rosa. See, if y'all talk, that means Rosa can't ask as many questions. Go ahead. You know, you are the chairman of the planning commission.
Well, what that has to do with anything?
You should ask him when you were at the gavel. Go ahead.
Question, when I got the email about turning it over to Roy and his company for review, have you gotten any feedback, Roy? Have you gotten any feedback?
Not finished, because Friday there was another amendment given to us.
Really?
Friday afternoon.
Oh, that must, no, that's.
It's just that little bitty, it was that drainage ditch profile check.
Oh, they gave that to us 2 weeks ago.
I got it Friday afternoon.
Okay, well, I don't think that's gonna be a big deal. What about the bulk of it, the real revised?
Ted Devaney was finishing it up Friday. He didn't work today, so I'll know that answer tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Anybody else? Good question, Rosa. Even though I give you a hard time. Anybody else? Okay, well, we'll go on. Any council members have any discussion over it? Okay. I'm good with that. All right, top three derelict buildings. There's only two of them up there. One of them, we had a big turnaround, the one on East Main. It has been verbalized to me that there is a buyer for the property, and that buyer has assured me that he will not be dragging his feet and really make hasty move for him to paint the place and fix it up. That's where we wanted to go in from the very beginning, but, you know, it took a lot to get us there. Anyway, I've told him his attorney's supposed to be calling you, and you can fill him in on all where we've been before and all that stuff, but we're not fooling around. We're not waiting months and months for this thing. He's got to do something quick, so you don't have to do anything. Just be ready. So hopefully I have it listed. The box around it needs to make some changes. And corrective action, I changed it to owner, so we'll see how that works. On Gwynn Street, that property, we did an inspection of the property. We provided the inspection to the owner of the property. The owner of the property asked that we give her an opportunity to fix the property. As always, we much prefer if they did it. That house is in, the exterior is not great, but the interior has been gutted, so that's a matter of her getting the resources to be able to do that, but I'm willing to give her time.
Is there still going to be a hearing next?
No.
No, so we'll put it down.
Yeah, just hold on. I want them to fix it up. It's not a bad little house. It's just that they had their grandson was in there, and he was not a big deal. Anyway.
Did she ask for any time?
I told her to keep me posted. In a month, I want to know something. So I think we are. I mean, I don't want to tear it down. I don't want to recommend tearing it down, because as long as people are trying. Anyway, there's a third one that's going to go up there. I don't know the address. It's an abandoned trailer. And the next door neighbors told me just this past weekend it's been abandoned for a while, and it's bad. And I went to look at it, it's kind of hidden where you couldn't see it, but anyway, it's going to be on Main, but I'll tell you later. But I'll tell you later why I wasn't able to go look at the address today, had something else going on. But anyway, that'll be the third one on there. St. Luke, the one in progress, that's the project that never ends. They've done, put a roof on it, they were supposed to work on the inside, so we'll just consider it still in progress. Any question? I don't think it's 4 years, it's probably 3.9. No, it's been a while. Anyway, any questions or comments? None, points have been, all right. All right, Finance Committee, August bills are at this copy in the package. Any questions or comments? For those of you in the audience who are not aware, this is transmitted to the council prior to them coming to the meeting by several days, so they can go over it. If they have any questions, they'll be better prepared. So if y'all have any questions, just let us know. I thought everything was pretty much normal.
Just having it laid out like this reduces a lot of the questions.
And it's sorted by the highest cost one on top and the rest of them.
I just have a general question about the postage meter. Is that doing better than just buying it all the time?
We bought a postage meter and we're using it, so that works better. Anybody else? Nothing? We'll move on. Investment report, every quarter of the year we give an investment report, and basically it says we have $1.5 million in the bank and put a sewer system down $115,016. And our interest rates are no better than anybody else can get. Almost nothing. Well, I would say that. We have 3%, Anyway, any questions or comments on that? Terry's never will come back to our meeting unless something flares up. All right. Personnel Committee, yeah, serve food. Sound like Kimmel won.
He was failed there.
Oh, he did? Oh, that's right. All right, item D, Personnel Committee. I'm going to recommend introducing an ordinance, and you see the draft of the ordinance, introducing it next week, next Monday. To do two things, is to adjust the employee sick leave policy and to remove the part about retiring employees being able to be covered, since our insurer will do that. So we're going to talk about that. We'll introduce them next week and then have a whole month to talk about it. And there's an item that's not on the agenda tonight, but I would like to hear the opinion of the council. We need to get trained and get started on a second part-time employee. Debbie's been looking around and interviewing people. And there's a lady named Jamie Loop, and we'd like to pay her $11 an hour. She wants to work part-time, and in fact, she's a good employee, so I would like to have the council's concurrence on that, even though it's not on the agenda. What was? Oh, my bad.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's what you're here for, to see if I mess up. No, okay, we can talk about it then. It's already been introduced. My bad. Okay. What it's going to do is, the first part on the sick leave, it increases an employee's sick leave as they have number of years of service. Right now, every employee gets a certain amount of sick leave, whether they've been here with us 1 year or 100 years. And so it's going to change the, when you get to 20 years, but less than 25 years, you may accumulate 320 hours. An employee with greater than 25 years may accumulate no more than 400 hours. This was at the suggestion of our maintenance supervisor, who said that, you know, employees that have been here a long time and are very, very good about showing up to work, they lose a lot of sick leave every year where the ones who use up all their sick leave, you know, they use it up. So if a person's been with us 20 years and we still have them, we certainly can do that little bit for them, and I'm in agreement with that. We right now, the most you can accumulate is 240 hours. So just bumping that up each time we reach a threshold. Second thing is, as I said, we had in our ordinances, section 4.11, group insurance for retirees, we had in there where a full-time employee who was over 60 years old with over 20 years of service could continue to be covered by the insurance policy that the employees have. What we found out in another discussion, quite by accident, is that we can't do that. We had one employee retire, but fortunately for us, he decided to go to another insurance plan instead of ours, so we really don't have that on the... It won't be on the radar screen for another 3 to 5 years when Curtis is about to retire, but we can't do it, so all we do is deleting that option for that employee, unfortunately. And we're looking at other options, something we might be able to do in the future, but right now we need to delete it because it's not, we can't do it. So those are the two things in the ordinance. Is anybody want to talk about those? Anybody? Thank you for catching that. And the part-time employee that I was talking about, anybody have an objection? Anybody want to interview? Debbie, answer that for them.
One week, they'll be working 16 hours, and the next one, 24. They'll be working 2 days, one week, and three the other. And of course, other part-time that I have, it'll be less from here.
We have found that part-time employees are very good. Besides not having the benefits in the situation, they have more flexibility for their own life, but they have to come all the time, but they're very good to have. And we have an employee that we have a baby in December, so she's going to be out for a long time, so we need to be stocked up and ready to go.
I have one I'd like to put on the agenda for next week.
Excuse me just a second. We don't talk a little bit louder. We're getting kind of old over here.
Is your mic on? Yeah, the mic's on.
Mr. Fondo?
Yeah.
I would like to tell you that this is not church. You can sit in the front instead of sitting in the back of the room and talking with your buddy next there and making any little comments about me all the time.
No. I sit by this door.
I don't talk loud enough.
No.
Wow.
You lean back in that chair too forward. Pull the mic when you lean back.
There you go.
I got to stay forward. Okay, my bad. All right.
I had time out with some knee injuries, so I hired a part-time officer. Remember the legislature changed where I can hire until the next council meeting.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually hired.
That's right.
And this week, I'd like, you know, this coming week, which is the next council meeting, I'd like the council's approval on it.
I got you.
His name is Dan Cipriano. He's a full-time officer for Fort Allen City. And like to bring him in at $13 an hour. He's already worked a couple days for us. Like I said, Tom had a knee injury, and he was out for 6 weeks. He's almost ready to come back to work, but part-time employee helped us out greatly, too.
He's driving that vehicle that Tom would use, not different
vehicle.
Yeah,
he'll use whatever's here. Whenever.
So he's going to be working part-time at the same time that Tom's working?
No. He just will come in and cover shifts. He's only had to cover one shift.
All right, okay.
While Brett was out.
I got you. Okay. That's good.
But we try to use them as part-time rather than paying overtime.
No, I understand.
If I could get about 20 of them, we'd be in good shape.
We would, I don't know about the council, but I would stand on top of a hill and scream out loud. I'm going to tell like that.
Yeah, already come full certified and psychologically evaluated and all that.
Yep. All right. Anything else, personnel? All right, recreation, discuss cooperative endeavors. If you remember, in our budget, every year we appropriate money to things like recreation and other things like that. And the state law says that we can do that, but we have to have a cooperative endeavor. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to list the different people, like the West Baton Rouge Parish School Board and the Education Foundation, the different places that the money is going. We did that last year, and I'll ask you to, next week, to approve each one of them, authorize me to sign them, and I'll get the president of their organization to sign them, and it makes it official that way. So that's all there is. I didn't put them all in here, just, y'all saw them last year, and they're all vanilla. They say the same thing, just they have a different name filled in. So that's good. Anything else, recreation?
Oh, yeah, I will say that mural, talk about that mural.
Yeah, talk about the mural, that's all about recreation.
Keith West Baton Rouge Beautiful has obtained a grant that the director wants to use that funding to offer the money to bring municipalities for a beautification project, and we could choose what we wanted to use the money to do. And we came up with having a mural painted on that part of the Alexander Park Pavilion that faces St. Francis Street. So we're in the process of talking with one of the art teachers in the parish to get a design, and she will have students working with her on that project. So that's coming through the Keep West Baton Rouge Beautiful funding.
Thank you. Police, do you have anything besides the hiring?
The trailer issue.
Yes. Go ahead.
We have an ordinance where when they move trailers, they have to have a police escort. It has to be signed off by the town. It has to be signed off by the police department. We had a trailer moved today off Eileen Street. They were supposed to move it around noon today. Well, they didn't move it till 4:30, which was, it was a cluster with all the school buses and everything. And me and Mr. Landis talked about it. And I think we need to set some kind of time frame, some kind of time period. The mayor had a good suggestion. When school's in session, maybe between 10 and 2. When school's out, 8 to 3, 8 to 4, something like that. Another issue I kind of see with it, the last two they moved, this one came off Eileen Street today. The last one they moved off Eileen Street, they went out the back of Eileen Street, came up Live Oak, which made it a lot easier because they can't make that turn at Eileen Street without. I don't know if we should make them all go out the back of.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. No, that road.
They make the S curve on Live Oak.
They make the S curve. They make it fine. I take this back. The last one they moved, they went through the town, Servitude, where the
yeah, right,
close to Mr. Don's house.
Yeah.
They laid wooden track down and opened that up and went through there to Ori Drive and then.
Right. Out. Yeah. That's how they can go.
Which it's a little bit more longer route. But it's better than dismantling everything at the end of Eileen Street because they got that big telephone pole there. They got to take a couple sets of mailboxes, a couple stop signs.
Well, you know, Jay, he and I talked about it before the meeting, and just coincidental, one of our employees had saw that our trailer moving approval form was useless. So she drafted up a new one, and coincidentally, we were supposed to talk about it at tomorrow's staff meeting. So what we can do is we'll adjust it to all these things, and I'm thinking now that you said that, we'll make them close a map of exactly the route they'll take.
That would be great.
And we'll put all that stuff together, and I'll give it to you for review.
And you and I can either approve or disapprove their map.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we're going to put it, that you will put on specific time periods that they have to call us at least an hour before the move actually begins, stuff like that.
That'd be great, because I had an extra person there today just for that.
Yeah.
Waiting, and it never went through, and then all of a sudden, when Brett came on at 4:30, yeah.
Well, we'll take advantage of the fact that we're changing the form to put all that stuff in there we want. That way, we won't leave anything out.
Jamie, some of that heavy equipment that came up Orleans, New Orleans West, y'all went on the back road, and it worked good.
What's that?
You know, a lot of times. We talked about it. They had to back up all the way down.
They had to back all the way down. They turned on the wrong street and had to back all the way down Eileen Street to get out. And then I don't know what they did when they got to the front of the street to be able to make the curve to go to Orleans.
Destroyed the Oak Tree.
Yeah, they did that Oak Tree.
Yeah,
they got some big equipment.
I forgot what they were moving.
Again?
I could have told them that wasn't going to work.
Well, because I'm not sure some of that heavy equipment that came in, if it could have turned on all any.
That's what Scott's saying. I forget which piece of machinery that was they brought in, but after they hit the track, I could have told them that wasn't going to work long before they ever tried to go through that.
Well, we, go ahead.
No, my question is different.
Yeah, no, that has to do with the contractor, you know, that's building the place. And we don't have anywhere, and Roy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have anywhere in our, as the few things we built while I was the mayor, I don't recall any kind of approval to bring any kind of heavy equipment, except you have a concrete limit, number yards.
We have a load limit.
No, I know, low limit, but I mean, that's, they can meet the low limit because they've got so many axles, but this is a, you know, size.
It's a turning radius issue.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got that problem on all your streets. That's what you've been trying to do with your school bus.
Yeah, yeah, so maybe we need to, there's no maybe about it, we need to look at including that in.
You know, any civil engineer that might work on that. Roy, you like to stir it bad.
I know some who can't solve a calculus problem. Don't know what they're doing. No, we learned the hard way that this is not the way to do it. Okay.
One question.
Go ahead.
You see the article in today's paper about Think Street?
Yes.
What's going on with that?
Yes, yes, yes.
In today's paper?
Didn't sound very good.
I think it was in the B section.
Where did it?
Well, they basically, from what, the gist of what I got from the article is that the state is going out for bids for that type of service. And Think Street said, we ain't even bidding on it because the politics in Louisiana is so bad, we're not fooling Louisiana anymore, we got it here.
Oh, great.
So I don't know, you know, I don't know what that really means, but it didn't sound like they had a close and loving relationship with the state of Louisiana.
No. And it's kind of funny to say that because the state has kind of stepped in and started governing. So I don't know if they're going to take up their slack or not.
I couldn't tell you. Anyway, I read the same article. It didn't sound very good. Okay. Governmental Affairs, anything?
Yeah, we found, Brian Falcon found this 1914 picture online through the East Baton Rouge Parish Library Digital Archives, and it shows the Brulee Drugstore. And this says the saloon, the Brulee Saloon, and this would be what's Bourgeois Street today. Then it was Lafayette Street. And this is before the levee setback, because when the levee setback began, this house was moved to Gwynn Street. That was my house for 31 years. That house was moved, and the drugstore was moved there to face what became the River Road. There's a street, the way the angle of the picture was taken, it's just hard to see some things. But the street goes that way, and when you look up close, this sign says A Bear and Moot Store, and that's the store that everybody knew about. That was also moved to the end of where Gwynn Street is at the River Road today, where that wonderful, artistic, beautiful duplex is. Tin can duplexes. It was moved there. So this just kind of shows what that little area looked like. And that, the picture on the cover of this book, this is the drugstore that you see there, but the saloon thing is cut off. And then looking across that street is what you see over here on the cover, this part that had to be moved because it was lost to the setback. And then the Bourgeois house is no longer here. And we think, you can see Union Baptist Church. There's a church steeple. That was Union Baptist Church, a little wooden church when they had the steeple. And somewhere in these rooftops, there's a big rooftop that you can see. And that was the Redman Hall, and that was moved, that was the David Blanchard house today. So I just thought that was really interesting, a picture from 1914 existed. That's almost 100 years ago.
Clear.
You see the horses at the picture post outside the shed. I have to point out the wooden sidewalks. The first few years and minutes of the town of Brulee, wooden sidewalks were the topic almost every meeting. They didn't meet every month, but the wooden sidewalks were very, very hot topics, and everybody wanted the little crossover bridge to get from their property to the street. So that was wooden sidewalks.
So they didn't have the COVID program?
No.
Trey Davis called.
Shook there, Norman came in and closed in all of those dishes.
Yeah, exactly.
Got all of wood picked up.
That's just sharing that with y'all.
That's why we have to have just press.
Yeah, research?
Oh, yeah, we researched, Don Neesley and I went to the courthouse a couple of weeks ago to research where the, who owned the property, where the convent was, because we want to do a historical marker to show the location of the convent school, which operated from about 1880 until 1911. And also on that same block of land was the first Brule Town Hall. And so these nuns came in 1880, but we started thinking there must have been something there for them to live in. They didn't come and build all those structures. So we started going back in the records, and we did. We found who owned it before the nuns got there, and then we found the owner before that. Then we got to 1843, where we had to go to the books where everything was written in French. And even the young man trying to help us couldn't help us too much, because our guide in looking for that was, we were looking for section 11, I think, lots 1 through 8. And I said, if we could find those numbers written as numerals, that would help us, but we couldn't even figure that with the French. So that's for another day. But we got back to 1843 on that. So thanks, Don, for that. Okay, that's my book.
Now, you see those guys right here?
Mm-hmm.
I know who's.
I'm sure it's them.
No, I know.
Okay.
They have JW Food Mart every day. That's Bridget Sonia right now.
Cleveland pointed something out, that box on the front of the saloon, that was where you checked your guns before you.
That little screen thing, yeah.
Yeah, before you went in the saloon.
Man.
Now, they did have in the records. The saloon sold liquor to African Americans. They could go to the window and buy their liquor. So I don't know if that petition thing has something to do with that or not.
All right. Can we move on?
Yes.
All right. Other matters, ordinance such and such, use of municipal vehicles. So, yeah, right now it says municipal vehicles may be used by any town official or employee only in the conduct of official town business. No municipal vehicle may be used by any town employee while on leave. No municipal vehicle shall leave the West Baton Rouge Parish limits, nor shall anyone be permitted to use or be a passenger in the vehicle with the following exceptions. Number one, transport of town officials and or employees conduct official town business. Two, pursuit and or apprehension of a suspect. Number three, transport of persons in custody to or from the police department or jail. So, with that, I'll turn it over to you all to discuss. The issue is that we have a police officer that's hauling his kids around.
Yeah, that was how it came up. A guy wrote a letter, stuck it at the post office, that he was concerned about the liability. An officer had his children in the car. He did have his children in the car. He was on his day off. He went to Z-Best in Plaquemine, had his tires changed. Didn't bring his kids to the babysitter. But at the time, the ordinance did allow that. So me and Mr. Landis kind of started looking at this, and I started thinking of a few things. This same officer actually lives in Irwinville. So with the way the ordinance is written down, he has a babysitter in Brule that from time to time babysits his kids. If he's working a day shift, he'd have to get up at, I don't know, 2, 3 in the morning, jump in his personal vehicle, drive his kids to the babysitter, go home, get the police unit and come back to work. I think that's ridiculous. And we did check, our insurance does cover any passengers. We have a civilian ride-along program where anybody who lives in the town of Brule is more than welcome. We do have them sign the whole harmless agreement, even though the insurance does cover them, but that cuts that out. A little old lady broke down on the side of the road. The way the ordinance is written now, we can't put her in the car and take her to anywhere because she's just busy.
You can arrest
her. We would have to arrest her. If an officer goes to a conference for a week and he wants to take his spouse, they would have to go in two separate vehicles. You know, and same thing with town employees. I don't expect Curtis in the past, up a little old lady broke down on the side of the road standing in 90 degree heat and not, you know, be able to get her some shelter. If Debbie went to a conference and took a down vehicle and her husband was going at, you know, at his own expense. I mean, ordinance was set that way a long time ago where the officers couldn't use them to do things like that. I don't think it should be a free range thing where they can go to the movies and take their kids, you know, anything like that. But I think with the, they should be able to ask permission for certain things and be granted permission by me or the mayor for his employees to be able to do such things like that. I don't think we can make an ordinance to encompass every circumstance that may come about, but these are just a few of the things that came down to, came to my mind and me and Ms. Lyons discussed.
Does anyone have a suggested wording on how we can do that?
Did we look at that ordinance from any other places?
I have the wording from our policy and procedure manual that I can forward to everybody. That was whenever Ms. Rhonda, before my time, when Ms. Rhonda went through and redid the whole book when Chief Worley was here. And I mean, I had the council adopt the same books, but ordinances do trump our policy manual, but I have the same writing.
So
there's some wording in it. If they have someone in the car and a situation arises, they have to bring that person to a safe place before they go to the emergency situation. I'll get it off.
My personal opinion is that when it says a person in the line of duty, if you see this old lady that's on the side of the road that's out of gas, I don't think anybody could question that's in the line of duty to help her.
That's in the line of duty, but it's a civilian passenger.
Well, I agree, but it's in the line of duty. She's in a bad situation, bringing her safety or whatever, you know.
What we're
talking about here is an officer, and it could be a town employee. A non-officer that is using a town vehicle to save them money, and that's pure and simple. I mean, just like I asked, well, do we have wording? I mean, this is a slippery slope. I mean, this is a very slippery slope. Right now, you have complete control over how your vehicle, how your equipment is deployed. Mm-hmm. You can tell a guy, bring it home with you, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what we do. We've been doing it for as long as I can remember. But when you try to word an ordinance that says if it's beneficial to an employee that he bring his family members in his car, that's different from if his family members are stuck in the car while he's performing his duty. That's a difference between, in my mind, this is Joey talking about this, and I've tossed this around in my brain, exactly how would you word something like that? I mean, what would you do? I mean,
we can never make an ordinance to encompass every situation.
Well,
I think on a case-by-case basis, them calling and asking for permission, I'm not going to tell them, yeah, you can go to the movies with your kids. But, you know.
But it needs to be approved by the council and mayor.
You may not be police chief and I may not be mayor. I'm not letting them go to the show that either. But
well, then those people that are here in our place have to make those decisions.
I understand that, but, you know, it's... Well, Joe, it leaves a... Yes, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You said he was using the police vehicle to save himself money.
Yeah.
But he also went on his day off of work to go get tires for a police vehicle instead of on duty while he was working. So he took away from his day off to go help the town.
That's true. And he did charge his overtime. That was in that particular instance. So.
Well,
cancel
that. Well, ever know?
I'm sitting in the front. I can't hear people talking in the back. What happened? I didn't hear what anybody said. You said cancel that, but I didn't hear what was said.
Jamie said he charged him overtime.
No, he didn't.
Oh, he did?
No.
Oh, well.
Yeah, keep that out.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the Z-Best. I'm talking about the fact that he brings his child every day to and from, basically carpools his child with a town vehicle.
So if you do that, then he ought to be able to get tires on his day while he's working. Who's going to patrol the town if he's getting tires while he's on duty? You going to hire another deputy overtime to take his spot?
I know what I would do, but you know, you can, I'm not in charge of the police department. I know what I'd do with us.
What would you do with y'all?
I'd say go get the tires. If our truck is running out of, is the tires are getting bald, go get some tires.
Why are you working out? What happens if you get a call while he's getting tires?
Well, we have more than one employee here. Ned stays there all the time. Jamie's a full-time chief.
Right.
And we have a police officer on duty too. So you can get tired during the day anytime you want. If you want to get it that specific, well, you know, I can tell you what I would do. I can't tell you what anybody else would do, but I can tell you what I would do.
So you can get a cover.
Huh?
You could get the calls covered.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have people coming in all the time wanting to pay tickets, pay, do this kind of stuff. We have it covered, and we have people that leave the town, and go get the mail or whatever. They go get tires, they go, whatever they can do, you know. It can be done without too much effort, really. But
Jamie, would you take a minute and explain to the council and the people that it's a policy of yours to allow the officer to take that car to the house?
Right, and it coincided with the ordinance over the years.
Right. Now,
there was big discussion about this probably way back when, just before I made chief, and the council changed the ordinance to what it was before it is now. And they approved the police manual as what it was.
Well, how disturbing would it be in this case that his vehicle stay in Brooklyn and he takes his own car back and forth to Irwinville and bring his child in his own car, park his car in and get in this?
It could. But, I mean,
if he would do this, he's a good officer, we value him.
I don't think that's fair. I think we cost him money that we're not costing another officer.
Well, if that's the case, if we cost the money, then it's up to the town council to give him a pay raise or something.
Right.
Well,
we
tried that, but we didn't want to change ordinance.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know what the solution is. Because the more we got into it, the more confused we were. I mean.
And I checked policies with other departments. And it was what we had. Addis does exactly what we had. Blackman does what we had.
What is? I don't know what you mean. What we had. I don't
what our ordinance was and what my
what
policy.
What was it? I mean, I was here.
Yeah, you want me to go get my take policy book and read?
You're talking about the ordinance, or you talking about the policy?
Our ordinance book said that they were allowed to use the vehicle in a three parish area.
No. Well. Not with passengers, not with civilians, no.
No?
No.
Well, when my policy manual did, it was approved by the council.
No, the policy manual was not approved by the council. We did a complete search of everything, and we can't find any record of it.
It was twice. I know it was when Rhonda was here, and I know I ain't.
No, we did a complete search with laser fish, and we couldn't find anything except one meeting where you said you needed to get with Joanne to change the policy manual.
That was through the audio recording?
That was through the complete search of all the meeting minutes and records, which is where it would have been approved as the meetings. We did a search of everything.
Mayor.
It really doesn't matter because the ordinance is what it is.
Right. Mayor, your main concern is the liability?
No. But that has never been my concern, but it's other people's concern. But the liability, we checked, it's not an issue.
Right.
They cover us anyway.
Right.
That's not an issue.
Part of the issue is that the people that see a child riding around in a police car cannot understand.
Well, that's not my issue, but that
yeah, they can
that
call and get facts from the paperwork. They'll tell.
Yeah, it's not just a child either. A lot of people that I've spoken with have also mentioned, and I did look it up. The average vehicle runs about $1,000 a month to maintain fuel, insurance, and that's a small note. That's not a nice car, that's just a regular car. $1,000 a month is the average.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at it as, how can they complain about the pay they're getting when they're getting a free vehicle? Essentially what they're looking at is, you work for the town of Brule as a police officer or whatever else, you don't need to buy your own vehicle. You can just drive around and use all the fuel you want, yada, yada.
Well, they actually can't do that.
Well,
they can't go to.
I didn't say that's what I thought or anything. It's just what people see.
But it can be explained to them that that's not the case.
It can be. I'm sure it can be, but.
I mean, we had the ordinance for years and the policy and procedures for years. And just, I don't understand why we changed it. I just have a different than the reason.
You weren't here. You weren't here when we changed it?
Yeah, I was here when we changed it. But what I'm saying is I don't want to take a job.
Look.
You know, and I've been looking into this, and me and Mr. Lane was talking and realizing that this guy is a babysitter in Brule. I mean, I think it's outlandish for him to have to drive to Brule twice in a day.
He doesn't have to, though.
If he has a babysitter.
Well, like you said, you just drive his own personal vehicle here, park it there.
And we're taking pay away from him that the other guys are getting.
What about the employees up here?
What's that?
Well, they don't get to drive vehicles back and forth to the house.
Well, set up ordinance and give them vehicles to take home. A police officer is on call. If I call him to come to work, you have to come to work.
Yeah.
That's one of my two.
Well, Wayne brings his vehicle to his house, and he's not allowed to bring people around in it. Eric Cook, he brings his home, and he's not allowed to bring his family with it.
I think y'all are not standing up to bat for the people that are helping to protect the servant who you're going to call when it's an emergency.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
I think.
I just to put one little quick note in there that I run my own plumbing business. I own the business, and I can only drive my plumbing truck a certain amount of miles if I'm not on duty or insurance changes, taxes change. I mean, there's a bunch of different things that change. At the end of the year, my taxes are different, all of that. So I understand where you're coming from. I really do. And I would like to do a lot more for fire department, police department, but this isn't just about the police department. It's about the whole vehicle program. It's about the vehicles that we have here for the town hall, for the police department, and anything that's, you know, incorporated in the group. It's not like somebody's throwing spears at the police department. It's overall, we want to make it better. We want to make it to where everybody's being treated fairly. We want to make it to where the people of the town understand without having to pull each one over and say, hey, by the way, he's driving his kid, you know, shouldn't have to do it. We want them to understand, come to me, we can put the word out and all that good stuff, but also make it fair for the police department. Also make it fair for, it's not just about the police department.
Does anybody have suggested wording? You want to put the same ordinance back in effect that we had before?
I'll send you the wording for my policy manual.
Yeah, I think we need to talk about specifically what something says. We're talking about theory here. My problem has been from the very beginning, and I told Landis and I told Don and whoever came to visit me, it's not insurance, it's not any of that stuff. It's how do you manage it? How do you manage it? You can't manage it like you can't. In my opinion, you can't change an organization because of one employee. You can't change your management of your entire organization for one employee. One employee has he lives in Irvinville, and he wants to bring his child to daycare, whatever he brings it to. Okay. All right. If you word the policy so that person can do that, then you have to look around you. You have to look around you, and you have to imagine who might do something with that policy that really wasn't intended. That's in all policies. I had a vice president tell me president of the company tell me, you have to be careful when you tell your employees what you want, because they'll go get it for you. But everything else will fall apart around you. You know, you say, I want the plant to run 100% all the time. It's gonna run 100%, but you might have regulatory issues this high. By the time it's over with, you can't even run the damn thing at all. So you have to be careful when you write a policy and say, this is our vehicle policy. You have to ask yourself, if abused, what checks and balances do we have? What are the implications of this? And I don't take it small that we have employees in the maintenance department and administration in this town. And whatever happens in anything, just like any human being, they look over the fence and say, I wonder why they can do this, but I can't. That's always been my number one issue, always.
I can give you another example. It was always a theory that if a cop car is parked in the parking lot at JW's, they're not going to get robbed. If a maintenance vehicle is parked there, that's totally different. that has no police decals on it or whatever. That's always been. And that's why they were allowed at one time to take the cars to the grocery store. And this was before my time. You know, when I was here, I remember the discussion that I had. I remember when Mr. Farrell went through the book temporarily and changed all of that wording. It's the same wording I still have in my policy. And I know the town went through dreadful policy changes back then. And that it came to the council even then, and my wording is still the same.
Does the policy now say that the police officers can bring their cars home?
My policy does, but the town...
We don't have policy.
Yeah, we have our...
The administrators of each department has policies in which they run their department. We have ordinances.
Yeah, right.
Which is...
But the police policy says they can...
The ordinance trumps the policy.
Yeah.
So if a leader has a policy that violates an ordinance, then they break it on law.
So what does the ordinance say that... They can bring their vehicles home or not?
The ordinance says what it says on the back here. That's currently...
Yeah, it's in your package. I read it a little while ago.
Right.
On the back there, the package.
Yeah, that's not a change. That's what was adopted last year in 2011. That's the way it currently sits.
I'll send the wearing out in the morning and, you know, whatever happens with it out.
I have two main concerns. The first thing I did when I heard about it was contact RMI, because mm-hmm. I was literally scared we did not have coverage.
Yeah.
For a private citizen not on business in one of the public vehicles. But I found out, yes, we do have coverage. We have coverage, but our liability is extended when you put a private person in a public vehicle for non-public business. Mm-hmm. So you have to say that, yes, we are covered. But yes, we also have a greater probability of a problem down the line. Sure. And the second thing is, as the mayor stated, it's a management problem. One sees it, well, why can't I do it? And that's my two biggest issues with it.
Right.
I think that we might get the police committee together and meet and see if we can't come up with something, come back with a recommendation to the council.
That's fine.
But I'll see you out. Tomorrow, first thing in the morning.
Okay. All right. Jamie, I guess before we get off, and one fast question. I'd like to know, when we get back together, just give me an idea of what these officers would lose if we kept these vehicles right here.
Okay.
And let's see if there's something that can be done in that direction. Let's just think outside the box. Is that too far out of the box?
No, I'll discuss it some more with you.
Okay.
When it gets messy.
I know.
It's just a perk of the job.
Anybody in the audience have any comments or questions or concerns? Or
I have
yes,
one
ma'am.
Quick question that's totally unrelated to this. Water. I know they called the phone, I don't know, a couple of days when I actually got my phone back and said that, you know, they had the dumb oil issue and all. Is there a way you can sign up with certain numbers, or just how is that handled? And I know it's been lifted, which I never got a call saying it was lifted either. But ways to manage that better in the future?
I'll answer that. You can answer that. Well, let me try. Today, it just so happened.
This is a 10% on the turnover.
It just so happened today, we had a luncheon in Port Allen, and Pee Wee Berthelot was there. And he addressed his problem. And it was a mistake. They notified us when we couldn't drink. But then it looked like it fell apart. And he's looking into it, trying to find why. He doesn't understand. If I understand what he said, he didn't understand why we failed to notify you when the water was drinking. And that was from his mouth. And so he thinks that the procedure in place, it didn't work for some reason.
Yeah, because I mean, and the other question, you know, was that they called my house phone, which I rarely ever answer. I just happen to answer that, which doesn't work most of the time if there's a storm anyways, because it's Cox and it goes, it's history. So I know you can get your cell phone put in for everything else and its brother to be notified on. I was just wondering if there's some setup or some situation where
I imagine that has to do with Homeland Security.
Let me give you my answer. It is very obvious from what he said that it didn't work this time. Okay. And they used to have, they still have robocall, in other words, you can call everybody, you know, but we're in the cell phone age where people don't have phones. You have Cox, you lose that, and we could have been much worse, we could have lost a lot more electricity. So we've got to come up with a better way to do it. That is when we have a debriefing, that is one of the things that I'm sure is going to be discussed a lot, and I guarantee I'm going to bring it up. I don't have the answer. I really don't, and, you know, I mean, we're going to have to come up with something. It just, you know, and I saw Jason at Mass Sunday morning, and I said, you know, people keep calling me, asking about the water. He said, well, I guess I'll have to talk to Pee Wee about putting out a robocall. I said, well, I don't understand, you know, we were, you know, why it wasn't done, why, you know, why wasn't that a, just a normal thing? So we got to discuss that. It's not clear. But I don't get hardly any calls. People think mayors get a lot of calls. I don't get a lot of calls. But I got four or five just asking me if the water was good to drink. I'd have to give them the little story that, as far as I'm concerned, it always was, but officially I haven't heard that the no boil thing is over. So, you know, we got to do better.
You may want to check with the Homeland Security, because I receive every one of their emails they put out.
Yeah. Well, I was receiving all the updates, but then when it finally was clear, I never got one.
No, no. I got one number 7.
It was 7.
Yeah. Number 7 was number
7. I got the energy.
Yeah, that's what she was asking. Is there something she could do? And I think there is something. I'd rather not tell her to do that until we're going through.
Yeah, there should be something. Research or put something out. Come up with one of our newsletters.
Newsletter. That's a good thing, yes. Yes, we need to do that. All right. We're at the remarks of, at Mayor's Report. The good news is our sewer aerators, that last time we had a storm, didn't come back on. They came back on. They were great. So great. Hallelujah. We have, after many, many iterations, we have agreement between Roy and the pump designer and the town of Brule and the guy who drinks at JW Food Mart every morning on exactly what pulley sizes we're going to be putting into those pumps to get them to pump a lot more than we're doing at Benzo Station. So we didn't really get in trouble this time, so we did all right, but we're gonna get it right this time. We have 0.00 applicants for the COVID program this year. Zero. Anybody can still come in. I mean, we're not what you call overloaded with work in the COVID program. We had zero. We are now in the process of repairing the sewer pond grid, which is some rubber things that hold the duckweed all in one place. They're very old. And yeah, we in the process of changing those out. But that's like the whole sewer system. We've been doing change outs for years. 7 of our 9 generators work as designed, exactly right during the loss of power. The others didn't have to work because they didn't have a lot of power loss. But those are great investment. And last but not least, I said earlier today I was supposed to do something, but I attended at 9:00 this morning. I had a subpoena to go appear for potential grand jury duty. About 80 people in the room, they drew 12 names, and I was one of the 12. So we immediately went from there into a grand jury meeting that lasted 2.5 hours, and then we still need more evidence. So
anyway, you don't get sequestered for like 6 months.
No, I checked with them. But they did say, and Kim, you have to listen carefully, they did say that when we're on grand jury duty, that we can eat anywhere we want and as much as we want. The only thing we can't do is bring home a doggy bag, so you can't order like 3 steaks at one time. All right, with that, I'll open it for remarks of personal privilege. Anyone? Yes.
Brule High School is hosting a big money raffle. It's a $10,000 drawing, and 2 other smaller drawings, a $1,500 and $1,000. Saturday, September 22nd, 2012. So we have that Adventureland. We have music, cash bar, free food, door prizes. It benefits all athletics at Brule High. Takes our $100 if you're interested in buying one. Contact with Kevin LeBlanc, myself, anybody around the school, and they'll lead you to the right path to get that ticket. And the high school opened their football season at home Sunday night. So maybe one of the larger crowds they had in the last 10 years.
Yeah, big.
won their first game. They play at home this Friday at Bruley High School at 7:00.
And Jamie and him caught four gentlemen who are going to come, five that are going to come visit the court. That's good.
It's been an activity.
All right. I like that. And he already promised them a weekend in jail, so I don't know. Who am I to turn them down?
I thought.
Huh?
I promised you made a long time ago.
I'm good. They're going to find out.
I had to write the report, so somebody needs to do it.
Yeah.
Jamie, he was actually sweating.
But of course, he is until proven guilty, right?
He was actually sweating. Yeah.
When is that court session?
Oh, it's going to be fun.
October
22nd. Huh?
October.
Yeah. That's a random date.
No. Or is that a random date?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trial will be in November.
No, I've got to wait till November. Sure. All right, go ahead. Anybody else? Remarks of personal privilege. Anyone?
Yeah, I do have a couple of questions. It's for Mr. Hebert, and you really don't even have to answer them. I just wanted to make you aware of these two questions that I have that I already pretty much know the answer to, but I just wanted them on record. Do you live in the town of Brule?
No, I don't.
You don't have to answer.
No, I don't live in the town of Brule.
Okay.
But I do own land in town of Brule besides what I live in now.
Okay. And the second question is, you had mentioned that you was going to lease it or rent it with the option to buy. And you said your rules and regulations are more strict than the town of Brule's. What happens if they do decide to buy? What happens to those rules and regulations? But you don't have to answer it. That was just a couple of questions.
I haven't answered that question.
Okay, anybody else?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate, and I know all the neighbors did, I don't know who all was in the back of it, if it was all pairs or mixed pairs in town, but that was a great help to everybody to have the sandbags delivered at different locations. That was just great.
Well, you know, actually, if you want to get me off on a tangent, one of the most, shall we say, unpleasant parts of a storm is watching humans as they deal with sandbags. There are two kinds of humans that deal with sandbags: those that need them, and those that hoard them. And there was actually a guy caught in Port Allen, loading a trailer full of sandbags, going around the corner and selling them for $2 a piece.
Oh my God!
So I'm dead serious about this. I am seriously considering. I talked to Wayne about it, and I think he's on board. And I'm seriously considering sending a letter out to every resident in town of Brule and saying, you need to look around and how many sandbags do you need? And then as the year goes on, buy some pallets and just stack up filled up sandbags. And when a storm is coming, stop at every house and drop off the number of sandbags they need. And then when somebody comes over here, say, if you're a resident of Brule, we take care of it. Everybody else carry your ass somewhere.
That's it. Yeah.
And I'm dead serious about that. It's disgusting. Pee-wee told me 30,000 sandbags this storm. 30,000 sandbags. You don't know what I'm saying? We had people giving us sands. What's his name? Bayro and them were giving us sand. They couldn't keep up. And people come in. Now, Bob Ben wasn't accepted. He used, 100? But, I mean, they had people coming in getting trailers full. Trailers full. Don't even know where they're from. Couldn't tell where they were from. But, it gets to the point where there's not enough. You can't bring enough sand and sandbags out there to satisfy the people that come and get them. And you look around Brule, go around each house and count how many sandbags you need. 6, 5, 4, 7, 8, 10. There's no way 30,000 sandbags are used in the parish of West Bethlehem. There's no way. No freaking way. We ain't got but 21,000 people. No.
Well, you'd be very glad I brought my sand back.
No, but I'm serious. You
can't keep it in your yards.
No, exactly.
Your hands and stuff.
No, but take a guy like you. That's a good example. You can look where you need them, see how many you need, and then the day before a storm hits or 2 days before, just go to your house and put them down for you. You don't have to fill them up. You don't have to go get them or nothing. But I don't need any.
I bought a pump to put on my patio.
Yeah.
And when that bitch behind me feels a bitch coming in on me, I want more lady happy.
Yes.
People ain't got you.
Well, you got it good, but I guarantee you, we ain't furniture, you sandbag.
I was in concrete wall.
Bad, just so you don't feel lonely. We had.
It's a crazy.
We had 20 inmates with two sandbag machines making over $1,000 an hour. They couldn't keep up.
No.
In Point Pleasant.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
And in Point Pleasant, we'll make over 1,000 sandbags an hour. We shipped some of them up here to West Baton Rouge, and we shipped a lot of them to Ibbotville, and then we ended up shipping a bunch of them down to Blackfish Pack. But it's crazy. We had to actually stop the people from getting them, coming to get them when we were making them, because they were taking them from the inmates as they were making.
Good, good, man.
It's crazy. All right. Announcements. Oldies with Goodies Fest is September 15th and 16th, from noon to 6 p.m. at the West Baton Rouge Tourist Information and Conference Center grounds. And the boil alert has been canceled.
Yes.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Move by Mr. Avery, second by Ms. Bourgeois. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
Aye.